We are so glad to have you, Nancy, and so glad to have everybody else on this call. I see lots of familiar names, and I see new numbers, new callers that I don't have a name for. So don't be offended if we ask for your name, because we haven't had a chance to get to know you yet. But everybody is welcome. And always, there is never a charge for this. And no advertisement. Sometimes I make a few announcements about things happening at Spiritus, like maybe a webinar coming up or a seminar or what's happening next, something like that. But this is for you. And for you being embraced in the arms of God. And that's it. That's what we do. We have many blessing givers on the call, for which we are greatly blessed. And we welcome them because they have studied very, very carefully through their attendance at blessing conferences how to best facilitate the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, without entangling their own opinions and attitudes into it. You know, I think we can all appreciate that a little bit if you just listen, not more than probably 1 minute to whatever your favorite news channel might happen to be. And it's rarely news, because you can't get past someone's opinion. I think that's one of the reasons we have so much conflict going on, especially with regard to information. Someone's opinion is not information. Not because it's not valid, not because it's not relevant or valuable to someone, but when you really don't know a person, you don't know their environment, you don't know their situation, you can't make evaluations about their opinions or apply them to yourself. And I have been on interview shows where people just get their horns locked over information that they disagree with, and when it finally comes clear what the information was, separated out from both sides of opinion, they find they agree completely. It was only their opinions they disagreed about. Okay, I went to a little length on that to let you know the value of our blessing givers being on this call. They filter out all of that, which is biased or opinionated or coming from limited points of view that really have nothing to do with the will of God, and very little to do with what you're looking for and seeking. So we try our best to keep an attitude of compassionate and loving neutrality, where whatever you need to say will be respected and appreciated and honored as important to you and your loved ones. And we do our best just to offer our ability to conduct the Holy Spirit into meeting your needs. And that's actually really why we have heard so many miracles, and so many miracles keep happening, because it's an atmosphere that belongs to you and God. And the in-between stuff, we kind of keep behind the back fence. It's going to be there, because it's in your life, and that's how you live your life, and me too. We're human, and that happens. But when we're in the presence of God, we leave that behind. And as I think back to my childhood, never, ever missed a Sunday at church. If one of my parents was a little under the weather, my grandparents, or my brother, or my sister, or a neighbor, always, I was in church on Sunday. And I remember so well when the front doors would open, and I would walk into this beautiful, well, for a little child, it felt like a cathedral because it was a very, very high, high ceiling, with vaulted rafters, you know, probably the equivalent of a 2.5-story building, but one story with the rafters and the beautiful finished wood and the stained glass windows that went the full height. And I felt like I had walked into heaven. When I was in there, there was no outside world. When I was in there, there was nobody's opinion being cast back and forth. It was just me and God. And we sang, and we created praise, we prayed, we hugged, we welcomed one another, and we listened to a sermon that was created to reach into the hearts of everyone. That has been my model and my role model in all the years that I've been carrying the message of Yeshua. When I speak, I surround myself in that beautiful, remembered sanctuary. And it really, really was a sanctuary. So, with that, I invite you in, and everybody is welcome to speak. We give it about an hour, but of course I took a little time to welcome you, to make sure that we are recording. Okay, I take a look, a little time, but we try to end at 4 o'clock because we have people around the world who tune in to receive the blessing, which starts as close as we can to 4 o'clock Central Time. These are many people who really cannot afford an hour-long long-distance call, or perhaps they don't even have international calling. Maybe they don't even have a telephone. It's very possible, because we reach into many emerging countries, and we are here to help people all over the world. And they just beam when they listen to a recording. This is why we record online, because most people can find some kind of Wi-Fi connection. They go back and they listen to our messages, and they listen to your prayer request, and they just beam when you've asked a prayer request for their country or their people, their situation, something they can relate to. So I just want to let you know that everything you do means a great deal to many, many people around the world. They treasure it. They cherish it. And I receive lots of emails about their blessings and their miracles. So it's a wonderful thing that we do here. Thank you, blessing givers, for joining us. Thank you, Nancy, for helping me out, so that I can just be here for the callers. And thank everyone who shows up, because your presence creates a community. And as Yeshua said, when two or more people are gathered in my name, I am there. To bring forth his presence is a treasure and a gift into the world. So, let's get started. Nancy, who do we have?
We have, let's see, first, it looks like Eva. Hi, Eva.
Hi there. I want to thank you, first of all, for the blessings last week. I'm still working on this pain, but something else that I wanted to ask for was a blessing for the finally my nephew, who was taking care of the estate of my sister, got the final auction is going to be on tomorrow evening, and I would like a special blessing for that, because this has been a real sore spot for my niece and her husband who live there, and weren't sure if they were going to be able to stay there, but they will be able to use their portion of the estate
and they're hoping there will be enough money that they can do this without having to pay extra to satisfy the brother. And
right.
So there's, you know, my niece would love to have good family relations, but my nephew is not quite there at this point, and the other sister is okay, but blessings on their relationship, that things may be straightened out and loving rain instead of what is presently, where he will not be talking to him. He does not talk to his sister, his one sister.
Yes.
So blessings for that. And
we pray the very best will come of it.
Okay.
I said we pray that the very best will come from that auction.
Yes, that is what I'm praying for as well. That
okay. We will too.
And I want more blessings for myself. I went to the doctor because they actually wanted me to put me into emergency because my blood pressure was sky high. But I think it was the pain that was doing it. And when I went to my family doctor, she felt my back, and right away she said, well, you have had spasms here, and that the muscles were spasming. And I was glad that it was muscle spasms and not something else. So I'm hoping that that will pass, and I will finally, one of these days, be rid of the pain, which is not comfortable, as you know. So thank you all for your help. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome, and we look forward to having the happy Eva back soon.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that, and I'm doing some more, but still I am not doing what I want to be doing, and I'm not there yet, and so hoping it will come soon.
Keep your faith strong. You'll make it.
Yeah, that's the tough part sometimes, and when I get
it
pain,
is.
It's like
I know.
Hard.
I know.
Yeah, I know you know.
No
one
said
how you did
enough, but it does
how
work.
You, what's that?
I said, no one said it wouldn't be tough, but faith does get stuff done.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. And we love you, Eva. We want the best for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Eva. So nice when you come on. Carolyn, you're open. Your line's open. We're happy you're here.
Hey.
Hi.
Lovely to talk to all of you. A couple things. First of all, I'd like a blessing for the weird stuff going on with the food supply and fuel around the world, and everyone having shortages and having to pay higher prices all around the world. We need some blessings out there to try and remediate that situation. So that's definitely the first blessing. And the second one is I've got a blessing for you, Glenda, for the lion and the lamb to come back. And
oh,
I don't know if you got the email that I sent. I'm just thinking that is such a perfect Christmas story. The story about the missing miracle painting.
It is. And I received your letter, and I do appreciate everything you said. I have a very, very important task to take care of before I can initiate anything.
I understand.
There are several really, really important tasks we need to take care of before I can bring this into public exposure. But for those of you who don't know, who have been following this work for a long time, you know that the painting of Yeshua, the Lamb and the Lion, is what started it all. It was the centerpiece of everything that brought us forward into the work we're doing today. And that painting has disappeared. I have no idea where it is, and no one will communicate with me. No one will tell me. And, it's wrong. That's all I will say. But it's also illegal, considering that I own the copyright.
So I have chosen not to ignite a conflict over this because I trust that he's in charge. And that's a very big part of my faith. And I do not want to ignite hostility or anger in the type of climate we are all living in today. And it could be that in the long run, with as much hostility that exists in the world, including anti-Christian hostility, he's better off in a closet. I am not the one to say what's going on or why. And I'm keeping my faith extremely focused on him and praying that God's will be done and that everything be kept safe for a glorious future with a new, revelation that this painting can be shown again in a new home with a glorious celebration around it. So I'll just leave it at that. But thank you so much, Carolyn. And I did appreciate your letter. I will be getting back to you. Did you send me a book?
Yes, I sent you my book because I mentioned you in there, and I have your wonderful books in the bibliography. So I just wanted to send you the book that I've just written, My Wild Ride, How to Thrive After Breast Cancer and Infidelity. It's a comedy self-help with a lot of research.
I wanted you to know that I got it, and I have not had time to read it yet because my life is pretty much a whirlwind right now. But I did open the tabs you put in it, and thank you so much for the acknowledgments.
Well, you've been a wonderful influence on me, and I'm very, very grateful. So when you're ready, we can talk about the, about maybe making a story out of the lion and the lamb being missing. But you know, there's no hurry. I just wanted to put it out there, and thank you.
If we don't make it for Christmas, there's always Easter.
Absolutely. Yes, that's probably even better.
Considering the crucifixion and the entombment.
Absolutely.
We've got some direct parallels going on there. Okay.
Absolutely. So and also thank you for the blessings for the world, for the food and fuel shortages and high prices that are really making a lot of people suffer.
I know. It worries me greatly, and I suffer in compassion with people who couldn't afford even a Thanksgiving dinner. They had hamburger instead. You know, and this is going to be worse before it's better. So we pray that those in charge will gain a little more common sense in a crisis. You know, I thank goodness I did not live through the Great Depression, but my brother and sister were children during the Great Depression. Of course, my father and mother went through it and had to find whatever work was available and lived on great shortages of food and other supplies through very cold winters, hot summers, no heat, no AC. It was hard, but one of the things they learned that actually helped to create the prosperous world we had between the end of World War II and about, I would say, 1980. We had really about 35 golden years. And I'm going to say, I'm not taking a political side. I'm just going with economic intelligence. Okay. When you've been in hard times, you recover by spending money only on what's necessary or only on what will bring a return on investment. This is what our parents learned. They learned you don't pay for other people's debts. One of the most wasteful things going on that has been charged back to all of us is paying off student loans. That was insane in our economy, absolutely insane. And other expenses that are going on that are absolutely unnecessary. They're luxuries. And providing incentives for futuristic projects, which may be great and wonderful for the planet. I've got no argument on the value of some of these projects that are being forecast and hoped for. Not placing an argument on that, but right now, we need to be spending money on necessities. We need to be spending money on real debt and on real investments that return profits on those investments. We need to be ultra, ultra conservative in the way we handle money, or we will find ourselves going into a deep recession. And that, unless a reversal is made, that will be happening toward the end of this next year, in 23. And one little caution I want to mention to all of you, because I really care about your needs and your survival. There is pending, we hope it doesn't happen, but this time it probably will, a railroad shortage. They're going to stop the trains. Okay? The trains will stop. When the trains stop, my friends, the grocery shelves will dry up. Okay? That's supposed to be happening 2 weeks from now. So I would highly recommend you stock up right now. I mean, later today, because even places like Walmart and Costco, they're gonna have empty shelves. You can't get what cannot be delivered. So when a rail strike is major, it will be nationwide, coast to coast, every state, and we have no idea how long it will last. That will include the availability of batteries, my friends. Think about what you need for batteries. It will be for common, ordinary food supplies. Flour, sugar, salt, everything. Paper towels, toilet paper, pet food. Some stop. Anything that comes by rail will stop until the strike is settled. Now, my forecast is the strike will not be settled quickly because it serves the convenience of certain political forces that want to leverage their agenda. Also, the average rail worker is already making about $100,000 a year. They can live on that. Their families can live on that. Now, it doesn't mean they don't have the right to ask for more. Doesn't mean they don't need more, perhaps in order to pay their rent, their mortgage, buy a home. I'm not arguing at all with their needs or their wish to have it. I'm just placing it in the context of what's available and moods that are likely to surround it. I personally think they will not be paid the request, which means it could go on for a month in the middle of winter. Be prepared for that, my friends. That's real. I mean, the rail strike is already front page in the news. It's scheduled. It's happening. And we don't have long. If you've been in the grocery store lately, you know a lot of the shelves are already empty. So don't risk it. Get things you will use anyway so you're not wasting your money. Be frugal. Be practical in everything you spend money for. And God will be with you. God will be with you because you are honoring His prosperity through you. He has given you everything you have. Use it wisely. and he will honor you with more. Be grateful, and he will honor you with more. Share with those who need. He will give you more. Give praise to him and his work, and he will give you more. So it's just a word of wisdom to get you into the next season of what's happening. You know, I don't give out end of the world news, because we don't know what apocalyptic schedules are. And I do want to take a couple of minutes to talk about that just a little bit, because if you go online, it doesn't take very long browsing through and around to what people have to say until somebody's got an apocalyptic forecast. My friends, don't listen. Absolutely don't listen, and I'll tell you why. It's not that it won't ever happen. It's not that it might not be on the future horizon. I'm not arguing with the principle. I want to tell you a direct quote from Yeshua. Okay. The apostles kept asking him, when would it happen? But Lord, you know when this will happen. When will it, can't you tell us? When will it happen? And he said, I don't know when it will happen. And they would just shrug their shoulders and they would say, ask your father when it will happen. And his answer was, even the father does not know when it will happen. Okay. Now, I've got a response to that, which I hope you will see as more reasonable than opinionated, reason being logical consequences. If the Father doesn't know, it's because he's not bringing it about. He would know everything in his own plan. He's not bringing it about, so he doesn't know. All right. Now, given that, what are the other options? Well, it could be something cataclysmic, but that doesn't sound like the description of what people will go through. Not at all. It could be brought about by evil conspiracies, and we're seeing a lot of that in the world right now, but, you know, we're also seeing that the good is outweighing the evil in almost every case. Yes, Putin keeps pounding on Ukraine. Oh, bless their hearts. But look at the prayers that are being given up to heaven and the goodly forces that are trying to protect Ukraine and other countries in Europe. And yes, Argentina is having a terrible problem, but I personally am on the inside as a spiritual advisor of forces gathering around the world to relieve the Argentina situation, and those are strong, good forces. As far as I can see, the good is outweighing the bad. Okay. That only leaves, really, one-third choice. One-third choice, and I want to describe this to you, because that's very important for the work we do in the blessing, which is elevating the spirit of humanity to a higher level. As Yeshua said, the only way out is up. And guess who else said that? Albert Einstein. From a material perspective, mathematically solving things in the physical world, he said, you will never find the answer to a problem on the level it was created. The only way to find the answer is go above the problem. Okay? So as we push up, and so many others in churches, and not all just Christian, other churches all over the world, religions, faith-centered organizations, through faith and praise and prayer, meditation, gathering and doing good work. We're pushing up. Okay. Now, getting back to this final possible alternative for why the Father couldn't know. It's possible, just possible, that it's something of critical mass that humanity will evolve into and not know how to handle. When we have another billion people, no place to put them, unrest and fear of overpopulation, destroying the planet, will we turn to God? Will we turn to the most villainous form of manipulation and control and other biological warfare and vile forms of manipulation? When we strike a point where humanity doesn't recognize itself and doesn't know what to do, that would be a point when even the Father could not forecast. We're almost there, my friends. If you think about the Orwellian horror stories that are being told about the mega universe and all the things that can be done to create artificial reality in which we live, guess who will be controlling that artificial reality? We don't know all the personalities, but they won't be God. And we're almost there. But I can't say it will be tomorrow. In fact, the hardship that we are getting ready to face, which is real, I'm talking about the recession. I'm talking about high inflation. I'm talking about bringing us to our senses. Have you ever heard the old adage that someone had to slap someone silly to knock them back to their senses? Well, it may just be this hardship has been orchestrated to slap us back to reality, where we stop living in artificial reality. Personally, I can tell you, I do not want a digital dollar. I do not want that level of invasion into my world, my choices, my determination, and its effect on religious freedom. No, I do not like that. And any day, I would take hardship if that hardship could break down the fantasies that are attempting to take over our world. So let's pray simply that God's will be done, and we have the strength and the wisdom to manage whatever we are given to handle, that we can be in our highest level of responsibility and our highest level of love and charity for one another. That's what has made the best part of our world be a world worth living in. And the rest of it has not proven itself to be of value at all. So let's continue proving what our parents and grandparents taught us, which is to accept and be responsible, to handle, to give praise, to share, to love, and to support all good things. It's from all the good things that we will harvest an abundance of more good things. Okay, well, that was my... I did not expect to do this today. I opened my mouth and Yeshua took over. So let's open the line. Carolyn, thank you for your inspiration on this and for getting me started.
Okay. Thanks, Carolyn. Glenda, we have Sarah here today. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, friends. Aloha, Glenda, Nancy.
Hello.
Hello. I wanted to first just express my heartfelt gratitude to each one who listens and all of the countries you mentioned. When they listen in the archives or in the live presentation, I offer so much gratitude for your cultivating your faith and sharing your light and your love and your compassion. And I want to ask for a special prayer for my beloved father, Peter Sullivan, who is just, he just went from being such a healthy, working full-time, vibrant physical health to really being challenged. And so a prayer for his healing and for the healing of all of our elders, and a prayer for the free exchange of information between people, and end to any and all censorship and oppression, and a prayer for all of my brothers and sisters and their healing and in their peace in their hearts.
Oh, yes. Yes, thank you, Sarah. And yes, I really do understand what just happened to your father, and let's bring him above that as quick as we can.
as quick as we can. Thank you, Glenda.
And he can rise above it. You know, this does not have to be a breaking point, but it can be if it goes too long without faith and love and care. So especially our elders need to be surrounded and held up when events like this happen, because they can succumb very easily, and they don't have to. We can pull them up. We can make a difference.
Yes. I affirm that, and I'm so thank everyone who is there to help each other, and may all of us who are stronger help those who are more vulnerable.
You know, this has brought up a thought, something I have many points of praise for the various Asian cultures and African and just indigenous cultures, for their honoring of elders as the wise citizens of their family, their community, their tribe, their culture. And I look forward to my generation, hopefully, to getting past some of these knocking down points that can happen over the ages. You can get hit so easily because you're used to being so strong, and you take on something, and it flips you backwards, and it comes as a surprise. It's like, wow, what just happened? And this is happening to a lot of my friends, a lot of us in my generation. And I'm sending encouragement and love and support. Like, you just weren't ready for it, my friend. But bounce back and get yourself ready. Because you don't have to stay down, and we need you to be the wise elder of our culture, our country, our family, our cities. We need that in our culture. Yeah. And actually, you know, the United States has not had much of that. During most of our history, for various reasons, we have really been a young nation, a nation that's been thrust forward by strong, healthy young people that, you know, like the old saying, that go west, young man, you know, and go to the next frontier, explore it. And when the frontiers of the land were gone, then there were other frontiers and frontiers of the moon. We were always empowering our young people to head out to the next frontier. And we were really, really focused upon the spirit of youth because we were a young country. And you know, my generation was very fortunate to receive
a lot of that energy. And we were really, really pushed up and over the rainbow so many times, for which I'm so grateful. But, you know, we've grown up.
Yeah.
And I think it's time we really embrace the fact that we're grown up now. And it's time we stopped acting like teenagers.
Mm.
Most of what I'm seeing in conflict is teenage rebellion.
Mm.
I mean, really, really stunt.
Yep.
Stunt. Tantrum. Teenage annoyance.
Yeah.
You know, hate that isn't really hate. It's just for the show of rebellion.
Mm.
There's the spirit of teenage rebellion going on all over our country. And I'm just saying, okay, if the only way out is up, let's get into our 20s real fast.
Okay.
Let's become responsible adults, please.
Yeah.
It's time. And I'm hoping that my generation will graduate into the peaceful elders who are here to share benefits and hope and blessing and wisdom. And at least that's what I see my job as.
Yep. Yes.
Oh.
Thank you, Sarah.
Is that it, Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. I love you all.
You're welcome. And your father most definitely has my blessing. And I not only understand, I've been there. So we're going to pick him up a notch.
Yes.
All right.
Have a great week.
You too.
Okay. Let's see. We have one more caller here. I just have an area code 727. Your line is open.
Hello. Hello, this beautiful community. This is Christine.
Christine.
Hi. I would just like to make a comment, if I could.
Sure.
I would like to ask that all of us let go of all fear, knowing that God is our unfailing and immediate supply of all our needs, always. Have faith
always
that this is true. There is nothing to defeat God. Therefore, there's nothing to defeat me or all of us. Always know God is our unlimited supply.
Absolutely. Totally. And thanks for that affirmation. That is the spirit of why we're here, Christine. But the actual words don't always get said. So thank you for saying it.
You're welcome. I've found that just totally depending on him, I don't pay attention to anything. I don't even watch TV. I just totally believe that he is my unlimited supply, and I'm finding that out. Things just show up, and when I need anything, I never worry. It just shows up. So when we live that way, we will always be taken care of. And I appreciate, I did not know about this because I don't watch TV, so I appreciate your information, especially for those who don't stay stocked up. I think it's always a good idea. You know, here in Florida, you know, we have hurricanes all the time, so I stay stacked up. I really appreciate the information, but I would, for myself, I would recommend don't get upset, don't panic, don't feel like it's going to be the end of the world, because when you focus on that, that's what you will attract. And I teach
exactly
attraction. So you want to focus on the solution that's in your book. Focus on the solution, not the problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is why I do not ever forecast anything dire, desperate, evil into the world. Because it's
right.
Not.
No,
and
it's not.
Actually, I believe, I truly believe that at the time when the great change occurs, it will happen by simply shifting the context of reality in which we stand, almost as if we have walked into a magic garden and we're still on the earth, we're still doing what we do, and yet everything has changed. Everything has changed.
I think we're in transformation, and I think what I'm seeing is a division of those who are already in the know of God and have strong will and faith. It's not affecting me. It's not affecting the people that I know that are that way. When we focus on what's wrong, we just attract more of what's wrong. So we want to focus on the solution, and we want to focus on what we want. What do we want to live? How do we want to live? And also I wanted to mention, if anybody has a 5G phone and you want to change it to a 4G, I would recommend doing that. If you have an iPhone, you can go into cellular, and then when you go into cellular, there'll be a second option, and take that second option, or you can go to a phone store and they can help you. Then you'll see LTE. You'll go into that and you'll have an option to click on 4G or 5G, and click on the 4G. It will stay that way, and you will not be connected to a 5G tower. And for Androids, it's a little more complicated. I wrote it down this morning because I was going to help somebody with it, and I don't know what I did with it. You go into Wi-Fi, I know that, and then there's a couple more steps than the iPhone, but I'll have to look and tell you next week because I don't know what I did with it. I might have put it away because I was going to go somewhere. Anyway, it will allow you to do 2G, 3G, 3G, or 4G, or the 5G. I would recommend staying out of the 5G towers. It's just safer.
I agree.
Thank you. Yeah, I do too. And that's a good example of how we help each other to stay safe. And we can do that without focusing upon the negative. We just focus upon what we want. And we keep our...
And it comes. Yes. If you focus on what you want, you will be led on your path to that. It's amazing. It's just amazing. This morning I went on, if you go online and you just ask, just query, how can I change the tower in my Android phone from 5G to 4G? And it comes up with directions.
Okay. Good. Thank you. That's good. Yeah. Well, a lot of people on this call already live that way, Christine, and I certainly do. I would not be where I am today if I didn't. It's certainly the only truly prosperous way to live, because God has no limitations. God has no shortages. God has no empty purse. Whatever you want can be provided.
Yes.
Our only distraction is the world in which we live. So we can, any of us, become distracted by this world in which we live. It's just a human challenge that we have. And we help each other rise above the limitations.
Well, you know, when I read your book so many years ago the first time, and it stuck with me, and it was Yeshua saying, be in the world, but not of it. And I stopped being of it. And
right.
Stay in the bliss of your heart and out of the chaos. Those two things stuck with me for the last 16, 15, 20 years, whatever it was when I first read it. I think it was 2004 when I first read your book. And that has always guided me. And so
That's awesome. And that's a perfect example of what he said in other contexts, that the only way out is up. Okay.
Yep.
Same thing. Same thing.
Yep.
You don't, there are no answers inside the world. You just get into a maze of one thing leading to another and one problem leading to another. Well, we have other people on the call.
Oh, okay. I won't keep you.
So we need to move on, but thank you for your wisdom and your guidance on getting that back to 4G. That's good information. And
yes.
I see Barbara's on the call.
Thank you so much, Christine.
Thank you.
We have Mara. Mara, your line's open. I'm so happy you're here.
Oh, thank you. It is very good to be here. I'm here every Sunday. I wish to give my thanks to all of the information from you, Glenda, and also from all of you others that had additional information. And I certainly agree with everything that is being discussed today, and have, in fact, have read about these things long ago, 50 years ago, that they were coming, and of course, it's taken a long time for us to wake up to some of the things that have gone on, but I do appreciate so much the opportunity to read all of the books and the lessons that we have had, the webinars, and particularly now because I can, I can't read like that anymore, and it is, but I keep remembering also what you, Glenda, and Yeshua said about going within and getting the information from within, and try to follow it as closely as I can. And I just hope that, and I expect that we are going to come to a much better place, I think. But I think it is going to be a little rough here for a while. And I'm so grateful for all of you that are doing the best that you can, and that we are engaged in trying to do the best we can to lift and to go up. And I just want to thank everybody, and I'm with you always, and keep you always in my prayers, and align myself with you when I say the blessings, which I try to do very frequently. So, thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Mara.
And you are a great example of what I hope you are, our wise elder. And thank you for being that. We love you, and we always love when you speak. But I feel you there, even in the background.
I'm sorry? You hear what?
I said we always hear you in the background, even when you don't speak.
Oh, how lovely. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm here.
You are, and you're one of our very, very beloved wise elders.
Amen.
Thank you so much, and thank you for all of you and your wonderful energy. It is a great pleasure just to hear your strong voices, and I am just very, very grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I think so often of this, these gifts that we have been given as tender mercies. That line that you've used, Glenda, in your writings, and that is even the name of a movie, and I thought, how appropriate. How appropriate. Tender mercies.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even in the darkest times, those tender mercies will come through if we just let them and enjoy them.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah.
We could not be here except by the mercy of God.
Right. Yeah. And it's so good to hear when you've, and I don't mean to, that I've forgiven so many things, and I keep asking for more, but, I was not raised with tender mercies in the churches that I visited very often. I can tell you that. That was not one of my experiences, and I'm so glad that you had that experience, Glenda, because it gave you the strength to help the rest of us start looking up.
Exactly.
Mhm. Yes, and it does do that, you know.
It does. It does. And one of the you know, I'm not a person that opposes discipline when it's administered with love and care
and kindness.
Discipline is often necessary. But when discipline is administered in a punitive way, with judgment or the judgment, what it does is it drives a person back into the world. And there are no answers in the world.
Yes.
And so you get in here like you're stuck in the mud, and you said, well, why is this supposed to do me any good?
Uh-huh. And you keep, but thank God for those mercies that keep you, when they keep you digging for the truth. I mean, okay. I have been on the search as long as I can remember.
Wow.
And I think I have taken every single class you've ever offered. That has led me to other readings and other meditations and helps. And I think I told you the first time I listened to one of your tapes. There was no book then. There was just the tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like my cells were dancing. I very rarely ironed all my clothes, but people thought I was a wee wacky when I started reading or listening to those tapes and reading the books then when they came out. And I used to go upstairs and hide in my bedroom with the iron and the ironing board and turn on the tapes.
Oh my goodness.
So that I could hear them over and over and over, and that's what I did. And
Bless your heart. I love that image.
Well, I've said enough, and
you probably had the best iron clothes.
Yeah, I did for a while. Now I don't do that anymore. I have more things to do with the iron.
Okay, dear. Well, it's been a pleasure, as always, hearing from you. And I think we've got one more caller we have time to take. And then
we
get
do.
Into our blessing.
Love okay. you so much, Mara. You're always our inspiration. Thank you.
Thank you, and I love all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, it looks like Kathleen, welcome to the call. Your line is open.
Hi, Glenda. This is Kathleen Casey from Fairfield, Iowa.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi there. I've just talked to you a few times, but I just I want to tell everyone that years ago I did get a set of the CDs, Conversations mm-hmm. with Jesus, and the, you know, all the tapes, 1 through 14, and also in the book are there. And I think, I'm sure that's what you base your webinars on, or not your webinars, but, oh dear. I'm kind of nervous.
That's okay.
But I just wanted to say this, that, those CDs, I keep them on my kitchen counter, and I just keep them there. They are the most valuable thing that I own.
Oh.
And I just love them. And what happened to me is after I listened to you, when you were in Fairfield, Iowa, in the gym in Fairfield, and I went down close to you to listen to you, and I think you were there for a couple hours, and after the whole thing, I thought, oh, my golly, this lady really did spend time with our Lord. And that's when my friend got the audio tapes, and then I got these CDs. And I had people in my house, and we listened to these, but I don't know if you still have any more of them, but they'd be a great Christmas gift, Conversations with Jesus. And one thing more is what I loved when you were talking to him and you said, well, why can't everything be like this? Because everything was just wonderful when he was there. And he said, well, everything is like that. Have not I told you? And then he said he talked about the Beatitudes, tape 9, Living the Blessed Life. And to be able to know how to live those 10 Beatitudes is just fabulous.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know if you ever want to spend a couple of Sundays just kind of talking a little bit about that or what, but I love the CDs, and I just want to tell you that happy holidays. Merry Christmas, and we all are love, totally, completely love. You changed my life.
Oh, thank
I'll
you,
quit now. Okay.
Thank you.
And I have something to contribute to what you said.
Yes.
First of all, this week, the CD set, Conversations with Jesus, is on sale. We always do a sale before Christmas, and this week it's on sale. So it was perfect that you brought that up about what a great, actually this is a wonderful way to start someone understanding this work. It's better than the book, actually, because the book has very polished, formal language. Not difficult language. It's still reader-friendly language, but it's still polished and perfected. But this audio series was the first time I ever stood in front of an audience to tell them that I had a conversation. My toes were shaking. My knees were knocking. I was practically hyperventilating, but I did it. And I did it with courage, and there was a complete, unrehearsed innocence. Everything I said, it just came out the way it needed to come out. And people recognize that. They recognize the unrehearsed nature of this, like something that could not possibly have ever been contrived or put together or developed in advance for some kind of presentation. It's raw. But
the recordings have actually been upgraded with every new generation of sound technology. We refine the sound a little bit. So it's actually very good recording, and people love it. A lot of people love it more than the book because of its directness and because they can listen to it as a recording. Now, Kathleen, I have there is a webinar called Living the Blessed Life that does cover all the Beatitudes.
And
it's
one of our archives.
It's one of our archived webinars, so you can find it there. We have done this. Okay. And so that was my addition to what you had to say, and thank you for that. That was great.
Absolutely.
This isn't really meant as a commercial. It's for information only. Is that once a year we put our G Clays on sale, and as you can imagine, it would always be for Christmas. This is our G Clay week coming up. We've got all the G Clays on sale this week. I'll be posting it later this evening. So before you go to bed tonight, you could be able to see what's there. It might take me a couple of hours to get it up, but the G-Clays will be on sale for 1 week. And the reason it's only 1 week is because it takes a week or two to produce a G-Clay, and then we've got to allow for it to get to you or to your receiver by Christmas. So we can't keep that sale open for very long. And the CD set is on sale this week. And then after this week, everything else will come back on sale. Since I don't have a lot of help, I have to schedule out what we're receiving for orders so that I can deliver it to everyone and get it to you on time. So that's why we're scheduling it out, and we'll try to do our best to get everything done and maybe find a couple of elves from Santa Claus Studio to come in for help. Thank you so much, Kathleen. I remember you, and it's so good to talk to you.
You remember me, yes. I listen to you all the time, and I just love you, Glenda. Thank you so much for doing your work. I remember a long time ago, and you said to Jesus, well, I'm not a minister. I can't do this. And then he'd say, we take this out to my children. And then you said, well, in Christianity, there's so many Christian churches. I think you said something about there's a cowboy Christian church in Texas or something. Yes. I don't know. But anyway, well, listen, I'll hang up, and I'm really very glad that I was a part of this group today. Thank you so much.
So glad
Thank you, Kathleen.
I'm back to be with us. Okay, bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I think we are our calling queue is clear, Glenda. I would just like to ask for a blessing for my sister Cindy, who's still processing grief in a really deep way, cellularly and physically and emotionally. So let's just keep her in the blessing. Thank you.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we are ready.
I'm going to put everyone. Everyone but me. So my turn to just be here and help you get relaxed. Release all your cares from the day, from the world. You won't find your answers there. I know the mind loves to try and figure everything out. For the mind, everything is a crossword puzzle. It really is. And it never stops working on that puzzle. Even though there really are no answers to find that way, because everything has already been given. The real challenge is to receive. If everything has been given and you don't have it, what do you think the answer might be? That you haven't allowed yourself to receive. Well, the first after receiving is faith. Just be in your faith, which gives you the courage then
to ask. You know, Yeshua said, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will open. But why don't we not do it? Why do we not do that more? We're afraid we'll be refused. We're afraid to ask. Afraid. Asking for anything is really not much different than going to your boss and asking for a raise. We're scared. We're afraid he'll say no. Well, my friends, God doesn't say no. And you have to learn that. Maybe you have to learn it the hard way. But risk it. Risk it. I'm going to let you ask. You know, and Paul really, really tried and tried to teach his congregations that that simple fact. And in one of the scriptures, I believe it's Hebrews. You know, I'm going to get that exact line and verse because I mention this frequently, and I need to give you a reference point. So I'll get that for the future. Okay, they're saying we're poor. We can't even get a place to meet. We can't get our needs met. And Paul, you could tell by the way this is written, he was kind of frustrated. He did always act with compassion and love, very loving toward his congregation, but he was a little impatient on that one. And he said, yep, you receive not, you have not, because you ask not. Those are his simple words. And we think that's not necessary. We think, well, God knows our needs. We think God is going to be like our mommy, newborn baby. Mommy knows when baby needs the bottle or her nipple. Mommy knows when baby needs to be changed. Mommy knows when baby needs to sleep and have a little light covering over it. And when she cries, mommy's got a pretty good idea what it's all about. She's going to take care of it. That baby doesn't need to ask. And you take that back a little further in the life of that baby in the womb. Well, everything is provided automatically. Okay? So from automatically to intuitively. And then we get into our childhood. And we don't get what we want and someone can't read our mind. What we do is we throw a tantrum. Where? Well, I'm hungry. Why didn't anybody notice? Well. Oh, I want to play. I want my friends. I want this. We get demanding. Did it ever occur to a little child just to walk up to mommy and say, mommy, I'm hungry. And then could I go play with Tommy? I miss Tommy. Tommy misses me. Just ask. No. Well, unfortunately, the typical parenting in this world right now does not include the simple instruction to ask. And I think it's partly because mommy has a little vested interest in being indispensable and being that person who's always there, who's always dependable, who will always be for you with your needs met. Well, let me tell you something. God isn't that way. God created you, me, everyone, according to Scripture, in his image, in his likeness, a piece of himself, blown as life into you. And that means, from the perspective of God, you're an adult. You are an adult with autonomy, sovereignty, freedom of choice, freedom of determination, And God will not interfere with whatever life you're leading, you're living, choosing, creating, professing, joining with others until you ask. But everything is waiting for you, like food on a banquet table. It's there. You ask, and he'll just say, here's your spoon. Go to the table and feed yourself. And you'll say, but my Lord, where is the table? Right in front of you, where it always was. But you never looked. Oh. Well, do I need to pay something for it? And he says, no. I paid for it myself. It's yours. I say, can I offer it to someone else? And he says, it's always yours to share. But give praise so that others know where to go to feed themselves. We have to learn to receive. We have to learn to surrender our willfulness in order to be in the will of God. In order to do that, you have to switch the off button on your mind. There's nothing wrong with your mind. It does exactly what it was created to do, which is to solve problems inside the world. Outside the world, it's got no venue. It's got no ground to stand on. But it's good at solving problems in the world. It can use your computer. It can tell you when it's going to get cold, time to shut the window, and so forth. It solves problems in the world. That's it. But if you want real answers to your life, you've got to rise above the world. You've got to be in this extra space of extra dimension, where all provision exists for you. And then reach for it and accept it. So in order to get you prepared for that, we're going to take, first of all, just take a really deep breath. Fill your lungs completely down into the diaphragm and then spread your ribs until your ribs are spread. And then in reverse order, empty. Empty that breath and see your body cleansed. And let's do it again, all the way deep. Hold it. Then release it and feel the cleansing. Now we're going to do mindful breathing, which is the four square breath. The reason I call it four squares is because we're going to kind of draw a square with like an internal vision. We're going to exhale to the count of four. That's why it's called a four square. But I'm not going to coach you on it because I might go too fast or too slow. It needs to be your count. We all breathe at a different pace. And it's actually normal and natural. It's part of your identity that you have your own breath. So you're going to exhale gently, not forcefully, just normally and gently. But to the count of four, where you're actually observing your breath. And then you're going to watch your breath drift into the atmosphere around you. To the count of four, notice that it's being received into the world. Your breath is a gift being received to the count of four. And now it's time for you to take in breath again to nurture yourself to the count of four. And you're going to hold it so that it can be fully distributed into all parts of your body. To your count of four. And you're going to do it all over again. And again. While I offer my prayer to Yeshua to open, listen, to ask for his gifts of bountiful offering and grace. Dear Yeshua, our Lord, our brother, our guidance, the power of our heart, the soaring energy of love that we feel, and the great welcomer of the Holy Spirit into our life. We thank you for all the things you do for us, by grace, by love, by charity, always. You have given to us, even when we didn't ask, but in that we ask now, we know that your gifts will be given into the needs that we express and that which we truly want. Whether it's peace in our life, answers, material abundance, satisfaction from anxiety, health, and healing to our loved ones and friends. On behalf of those who cannot ask, who know not to ask, I ask now for the children that they be loved and be lifted out of torment and fear. I ask for the elderly that they be brought back to a new life, that their last days on this earth may be a blessing to them and to all of us who have cherished their presence with us for so long. We ask for peace in our world. We ask that the forces of goodness be amplified to demonstrate that goodness is the answer and provides the solutions we need. We ask for abundance to outweigh any scarcities that may develop, and that all who know you, who trust in God, who see the higher purposes of this life, they find their needs always met by the raining of grace from higher ground into our earthly needs. We ask that you are here, that you be with us, and open our life to continue receiving blessings in the coming days. Through this impending winter, may we find a warm fire to sit by and warm hearts with which to enjoy it. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your blessings, your salvation, for giving us an anointed life, rich with promise, and full of hope. With all the faith in our hearts, we post these requests for ourselves and for others. In your blessed name, amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now? Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, I want you to go and rest. Just lie down. Be quiet. Don't think. Do not even continue your prayer, because anything verbal will bring in your mind. You want to be a blank slate upon which God can write your blessings. Bye-bye for now. I wish you a very blessed week. I look forward to being with you again next Sunday.